Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Wednesday. We got to talk some USC Trojan football, transfer portal stuff, June recruiting season. There's all kinds of stuff going on around the USC football program, even some women's basketball. I'm going to do that with Keely Yore. Follow on Twitter at Keely is my name. That's her name, not my name, but it's her name. That's what you can do on the Twitters. And she's right next to me in studio. Keely, how you doing today?
Hello, hello, Ryan. Doing well. Glad to be back. I heard two separate podcasts, one where Bruce Feldman called you a bad boss, which I enjoyed. And also Gerard said I'm not cool. So I don't know how to feel about that.
Oh, yeah. We had Keely was on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she takes vacations all the time.
Yep.
Maybe the first time ever you've taken one.
I think so. Since becoming full time. Yeah.
Yeah. Bruce did call me a bad. We had Bruce Feldman on. He called me a bad boss. Gerard. Yeah. You know, Gerard. But it was good. We tried to fill your shoes while you were gone. But it's very hard to do.
Why, thank you.
But welcome back.
It's good. I said some sarcasm, but thank you.
No, it's good. How's your tan?
I'm tanner. Can you tell?
For you, it's tanner.
Yeah. I know. I'm not like pasty white.
Right.
I'm not blinding anymore.
Some people might still say you're pasty white, but for you are
for me,
tanner.
This is pretty good.
Yeah.
Hey, I had to overcome like pandemic pale. That's a different level of pale.
That is true. But mm-hmm. Welcome back. We're glad to have
you
back.
Glad to be back.
In studio. We actually, if you guys want to go check out uscfootball.com right now, we have a new interview up, Tunnel Vision, about half hour with Lindsay Gottlieb, USC's new head women's basketball coach. Spent the last couple of years with the Cleveland Cavaliers, took Cal to a Final Four, and she was definitely a lot of fun to talk to. We'll put that up as a podcast at some point, too, but for right now, you can go check out the video up, and it was great. I mean, I'm glad you got to – I was trying to interview her, but you were gone, so like it kind of made sense to have you around, too, so we could – sort of do the double team on it.
Yeah, I told you. I was like, I really want to talk to her, and she was great to talk to, so I'm glad you waited for me. I appreciate it.
No, it was good. And so make sure you go check that out. We also have, if you're not a VIP member, 60% off right now, annual membership, or you can get a buck for the first month. So it is a killer deal you don't want to miss. You get free access to Paramount Plus, the streaming service, once your trial is over. So make sure you check out all of that on the site. 60% off. The Lindsay Gottlieb interview, so check that out. And if you have any questions or comments for us here on the show, podcast at uscfootball.com is the email address, or you could call us or text us at 424-254-9141. We got a voicemail to play. I think we got one text, but it was about tunnel vision. We haven't had like a real tunnel vision for a few weeks. So we'll try to do that. Maybe we'll get some special guests or something. But we do have a version of tunnel vision. It wasn't live, but it is up on the site right now. And if you have the Apple podcasting app on any of your devices, we really would appreciate a follow for the Peristyle Podcast, but also a 5-star rating and any kind of comments, feedback, suggestions you have. We haven't read any for a while, Keely, because you've been gone.
Oh, am I the official review reader?
I think that's kind of the way we're good. Do we have any new ones? Or?
See, this should show you that I'm a little rusty 2 weeks in. I just pulled out the review, so we'll see.
Well, in our prep meeting that went hours, we didn't actually go over that either.
Yeah, because you're big on prep meetings, Ryan.
Yes.
I believe we have some new ones.
Okay.
First one is from U2 Scott, who says, the whole crew rocks. Been listening to the podcast since it started and been on the website lurking ever since Ryan started it up. The chemistry is great, and I look forward to all the podcasts as I listen to them and run or commute. Great job.
Oh, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. And then we had Trojan Greg leave a 5-star review, and he says, I don't go into the negative threads anymore on the Peristyle, but I look for posts from Dan, Keely, Shotgun, Ryan, and Gerard. Helton's the coach until he's not. Love when Bruce is on because he always tells it like it is, whether you want to hear it or not. I'm optimistic that Clay Maguire is going to change the offensive line culture and hopefully produce.
Ah, I think I did read that one with Gerard. I might have read it. Yeah. No, it's okay.
Glad you can remember.
Yeah, I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
True.
You know?
That is
so
true.
That is fair. It's been a busy day. We've done a lot of stuff. I think I'm the third time I've been in the studio today. So boom, 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 just like, you know, hitting this.
I mean, I've been gone for 2 weeks and I'm doing three shows today, so.
Yeah, you are
welcome
killing
back.
It.
Welcome back.
We do want to thank our sponsor, Trader Joe's, as well, because they're great and they've been awesome to us. Do you know, one of the cool things with summer coming up, they're going to have some new stuff in the store.
Ooh.
I just saw these strawberry vanilla flavored yogurt pretzels. I love me pretzels. I love flavored pretzels.
Okay.
And I like pink things. Like, I like pink food.
Wow.
Homer Simpson donuts, you know, those pink donuts with sprinkles on it. I always like those. These look really good. So I haven't tried them yet. I might have to go right after the show.
Nice.
And pick some up. But, you know, if you want some fresh flowers, they have a great selection. You go in there.
They do.
Had a friend. Father went into the hospital. It was, you know, not a good thing. You know, pick up some nice flowers, drop it off there. Like, it's a good thing. So
look at you.
Yeah, you try to, you know, try to be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And Trader Joe's helps you do that. But they've been great to us over the years, so we appreciate Trader Joe's. And there's always cool stuff there. Just go around shopping.
Just go shopping.
Yeah.
Just do it.
You just go shopping at Trader Joe's. Yeah. I do it. I like to do it. You guys can do it too. All right. So. Newsy stuff? Do we have any, like, breaking news? I think when we recorded with Gerard last week,
yes,
within an hour, Jay Toya entered the NCAA transfer portal.
Because that's what happens naturally.
That, yeah. So, and Gerard would be a good person to talk about. But, you know, pretty shocking, right? When you have freshmen, you know, fairly highly ranked. I know some of the recruiting class wasn't the highest ranked, but, you know, fairly highly ranked. Freshman who comes in, you got a Brandon Peely going down with the Achilles. He's out, and he showed a lot of promise and potential to be, if not the starter, certainly on the two deep. And got praise from the coaches. And after a successful, what you could say is successful spring football, goes into the transfer portal. So, you know, you were on vacation.
I know.
Did you break this one? Was this
I helped confirm it in Hawaii, but I did not break it because I was gone.
Because you were gone.
That's not why I didn't break it.
Right.
You know.
There was one before you broke. Stephen Carr. I'm like, just got to try to put it all together.
Were you on vacation or I on vacation? Oh, you sound like you were
I'm
gone.
I'm completely on vacation all the time at this point.
True.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Get your initial thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little shocking. I mean, first things first, in the transfer portal, he showed up as David Toya. So we were like, is this a mistake? Because why would Jay Toya be in the portal? And that kind of speaks to how shocking it was, especially because Jay Toya was one of the first guys in his recruiting class. He committed as a sophomore to USC.
Yeah, like 2018?
He was that guy who was just kind of almost forgotten about a little bit because he'd been there so long. And that's the point I made on the Family Feud podcast a couple weeks ago is like in praise of Jay Toya in the spring that he had was because some people just kind of overlooked him coming into the spring camp. And he really impressed. And I thought he was a guy who brought effort every single day in practice. And he was a guy who stood out with Tuli Tuipulotu. And so definitely shocking. You think that committing as a sophomore, it can go one of two ways. Either that means you really are committed to USC and you love USC, or you made your decision a little too early. And the way he describes it in his note, it sounded like maybe it was a little too early, but we did put in the war room. There's some drama behind the scenes, as there always is. But there's some family drama, it sounds like, and it's a complicated matter, I will say that. And so I think this is one that needs to keep evolving before we can really divulge into it. But definitely surprising, definitely something that not a lot of people saw coming.
Certainly not. I think I did the podcast of champions and someone asked about it. I'm like, read the war room. Go over to USC Football. And right now, like 60% off. There's some really good stuff in there. But yeah, it was funny because it was announced Wednesday or when it broke Wednesday. And like you said, it was David.
David Toya, which is,
I guess his real name or, you know, his actual name, but it goes by Jay. But then we start hearing from people like, oh, yeah, like his family moved him out on Monday. And it wasn't like, oh, everyone's moving out of the dorms. It was like, no, people are moving around. There was some weird stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
This is a weird one.
And I'll say, from what I've heard, Toya really enjoyed his USC experience so far.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't seem like it was something where he was having a horrible time and hated it and was like, I need to leave immediately. You know, he was getting playing time, like you said, because of Brandon Peely's injury. It looked like he was gelling well with the situation he was in. So that's why it's a little odd, a little surprising. And once again, go read the war room.
Yeah. And you feel bad, too, because there's threads that will pop up and people are saying like, oh, he was failing or something. And you're like,
no.
And then you start getting worried, like, well, I heard there was two freshmen on the honor roll and he was one of them. And
yeah.
He came out with his own Instagram post, I believe, and said
in
he had
Twitter,
like a 3.9 GPA, just really didn't have a chance to go through the recruiting process because of the pandemic and all of that. And, you know, we're going to see a lot of this. Not just the Jay Torres. There's going to be guys transferring fairly early. Now, we, you know, there's issues when you sign a letter of intent and all that, too, mm-hmm. and what the timeline was of that. But there's going to be fewer guys in this recruiting class because there's less roster spots. Unless the NCAA makes some kind of change, there's not as many roster spots open because everyone got to come back if they wanted to. It's going to, you know, some people might transfer because, I mean, there's going to be a lot of churn on college football rosters. And you get why the NCAA allowed everyone to come back and you know, not count, but there's going to be unintended consequences. And you're going to see a lot of weird stuff going on with these rosters. Transfers in, transfers out. I don't even think we scratched the surface yet.
Yeah, I mean, just the flurry of commitments that happened in the first couple of months of the pandemic. I think a lot of people were worried about the future and their future spot on rosters. And so that's why we saw so many more commitments in that time period at the beginning of 2020 than we usually do in the whole like course of the year. So the fact that, you know, the pandemic kind of forced people's hands, I'm sure you're going to see, like you said, Ryan, there's going to be a kind of a rebound or a swing back to more normalcy in the recruiting ways.
And I don't know about, I mean, there's normalcy, but there's also like there was a ton of commitments. There's not that many now. Like there's just, if you look at all the major schools that would normally have like 20 commitments right now, they have five or something, you know.
And that's the product of how long the dead period was.
Yeah.
Like people were, if they saw that the dead period was ending, there was the end in sight, why not wait? You know, why not wait until you can actually take official visits? Why would you commit right before you're about to do that? You know, it doesn't make sense. So that would point to that.
Well, that's the other big topic is recruiting. So it's been 15, 16 months since camps, visits, all those things could happen where coaches can interact in person with players, with prospects. And as of June 1st, you know, we're recording this on June 2nd, it's opened up now. And USC has, you know, a couple dozen official visits scheduled over the next four weekends. And I feel like this is going to be the busiest recruiting month in USC football history. And it probably for most schools because, you know, USC would have a bunch of great visitors on like, you know, late January weekends and stuff. But usually that's like two weekends in a row and maybe a third, but not like what this is going to be. And there's going to be, you know, dozens of unofficial visitors and stuff coming to campus. All of those high school players that couldn't play their senior year or played in the spring and weren't able to visit campuses. And normally you're like, oh, yeah, that kid had been to USC five times. Like, that hasn't happened, you know, over the past 15 months or so. And now it's going to happen. And it's going to be like the craziest probably recruiting month that we've ever seen. So you come back from vacation and we're going to be calling like kids like crazy right now.
I mean, that's why you plan things in May. So it was dead in May and now it's going to be crazy. I mean, you saw the tweets leading up May 31st when it was counting down to June 1st. People were tweeting excited about how just different it's going to be now that you can actually recruit normally, you know? And I think it'll be interesting in the sense that, you know, we heard with guys and coaches and players when spring camp was taken away. They talked about how much they appreciated spring camp this year. Well, when you can't recruit the way you normally recruit for over a year, I mean, they're really excited to get back out there and really do what they can do. And I know that they've been planning like special things that they can do in June. So some more room tidbits, I think, are going to come soon. But
yes.
So just the fact that they could plan for all these visits, the fact that kids are excited to come back on campus. Like you said, Ryan, usually it's like, oh, yeah, I've been to USC 9 million times. It's right down the road. It's like, hey, you actually get to see it and walk around and try on the jersey and do all that. So I think overall it's one of those pandemic things where you're not taking it for granted anymore on both sides. And so it's going to be wild. It's going to be a crazy recruiting month.
For sure. And that's another reason if you're not a VIP member, you know, go do it now. 60% off, dude. It's a no-brainer. Just go do it.
Come on. Addressing our listeners as dude.
Dudes. Let's go, dudes or gals, guys, whatever.
Dudes is general.
You got to go check it out. So there would be threads on the Peristyle, which is the message board, the biggest, baddest, you know, busiest USC message board on the planet. You have to go check it out. That's where all the insider stuff is going on. But a lot of threads from recruiting analysts, from our staff, from, you know, even, you know, boosters that are on there kind of posted on the download. Like, people hear stuff. That's where you want to go. If you want to be the person, if you can go back to the water cooler at the office, if that's allowed still. I don't know if that's still allowed. But if you want to go talk there, this is where you kind of get all your information. And there's a lot of good stuff being posted about these visits. There's going to be people that are supposed to visit and then they don't. And there's a surprise visits. Like, there's always going to be stuff like that.
It's always evolving. Like I'm saying, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It's good. Recruiting. I like when recruiting is crazy.
Yeah. We talked about it a little bit with Gerard last week. He thought he was just going to do like a recruiting podcast. I'm like, no, dude, we're doing team stuff. But we get a little tidbits of recruiting. I know we don't get usually too deep into a lot of the recruiting stuff. But, you know, check that out for sure. And then just a real quick note to the 2022 College Football Hall of Fame ballot was announced, and a few Trojans are on it. Reggie Bush, you guys might have heard of him. Mark Carrier, he was a safety when I was in school way back in the day.
Wow.
And then before that, Jeff Briegel, he's an offensive lineman. So those three are on the – they were announced to the 2022 College Football Hall of Fame ballot. So congratulations to those Trojans. So, you know, Reggie Bush, obviously a lock. But, you know, Mark Carey was a stud.
Graham Harrell, also on the ballot.
Graham Harrell, yeah. That's an interesting one, yeah.
Yeah, so there you
go. He was really good when he played in college.
Yes, he was.
He threw for bazillions and zillions of yards. and we'll see if USC can throw for zillions and zillions of yards
this year. Yes, great transition, right?
With his boy, Keaton Slovis. Yeah, anything else, Keely, you want to discussed? You were gone for a while. Like, is there any other USC things that were just you're chomping at the bit to talk about?
Not really. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the Hall of Fame nominees go, because now USC can actually acknowledge Reggie Bush.
Oh, yeah.
And how unfortunate would that be if something happens and he gets obviously elected or nominated and they can't say anything, you know? So at least now they can actually speak his name.
Yeah. He can speak. They can speak his name. They can talk about him. They can promote it. I mean, they just tweeted. They tweeted about it. Which,
yeah,
like, which weird.
It's still kind of weird to see.
USC tweeted about Reggie Bush and like tagged his name, and you know, we're a long way from that Utah game a couple years ago, where USC like photographers were basically told, not basically told, they were told.
We were told.
If you're taking a picture of like a play on the field, make sure it doesn't have Reggie Bush in the background somehow. You know, like,
we
how
weren't
dumb
told that.
Is that?
USC
USC
itself.
People were told that. Yeah. They were like, you can't show this. They're like, so Drake London makes some ridiculous catch in the end zone, but it happens to be right in front of Reggie Bush. Like, don't use that image. Like, that's the kind of idiocy that was going on.
Well, the hilarious part is then you have your running back, Marquis Steph, go and shake or daff up Reggie Bush. What are the rules with that? That's a little...
Yeah. That, I mean... I thought that was a great moment.
Oh, no, for sure. I just meant as far as the social media team.
Right. And they're like, oh, we can't show that.
Yeah. It's, even though it was a great moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's not there anymore anyway. So.
True.
So he's.
All right.
He'll be running for Nebraska. Well, yeah. So, all right. So we had all that. Make sure you check out the Lindsay Gottlieb interview. I hope you guys enjoy it. She definitely made a plea to USC football fans, you know, at the end, like, hey, you might not be a fan of USC women's college basketball or women's college basketball in general. It's definitely it's an evolving sport. I remember going when I was in school. Lisa Leslie was the star player, so like she had scored like 100 points in high school or something, and she could dunk. And I just remember like I would go to the Galen Center and go watch women's basketball games because I wanted to, you know. And I kind of became friends with Lisa a little bit, you know, back in the day, but.
Flex.
Nah, I mean, she wouldn't know who I am now, but we like she was in the dorms, like we would talk sometimes,
I'm just joking,
whatever,
yes.
You know. But yeah, so that, you know, hopefully this will. I mean, I love the hire. I love that it shows, you know, they are trying to make the athletic department in general a lot better. This is a sports team that has tradition. That's, you know, won multiple national championships, bunch of Hall of Famers, like. There could be a really good women's basketball team, you know, and I think they're putting the resources, Mike Bone, you know, Brandon Sosna, they're putting the resources in to make that happen. So I think that's overall a good sign for the athletic department, but also the football team down the road.
Yes, agreed. And I mean, just for women's basketball for USC, it just seems like she said, and what people are saying in their columns, like it's a sleeping giant. There's a lot of talent, and she obviously knows how to cultivate a winning culture. So it'll be interesting to see what she can do.
Yep. All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break and we'll answer some questions. Back in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hey, we're back here on the Peristyle Podcast. Be a tight show, really short show today. You guys have a Family Feud coming up, right?
We do.
So you're recording it today, so it'll be up next week sometime. Is that what we're?
What a hater! What
just
a
kidding.
Hater!
So just you know how the sausage is made. Like when I record a podcast, I basically record it like live to tape. So it just like I clean up some of the audio, and it goes right up.
I mean, I think everyone has gathered from the way we talk about it. You do no prep, no edit, no post. It is what it is, folks.
That's me. That's yep. how I do my show. And you guys put a lot more prep into it. There's a lot yes. more thought. But I like it segmented. You have different, you know, there's like clear boundaries of we're going to do this now instead yes. of like willy-nilly like I do it. But whatever. I mean, that's good. But it takes a little while longer to and you know, I think you learn from the hands of a master like a Michael Castillo. Like he
didn't teach me. We're cut from the same cloth.
But you witnessed the way he does things, which is very different. You know, he'll take out ums and ahs, and he'll just.
I'm just also a very precise editor.
Yeah,
I can't not
You're
let
meticulous
it.
Meticulous.
Yes.
Yeah. We love Michael and. You know, we talked about the engagement and stuff.
We did, yes.
Which is pretty funny. They haven't done a show for a while, by the way.
I know. Seeing.
What's going on with that? Calling you guys out, Ray to Troy.
Then you're like,
I give you like all these props, and then you know,
oh my
then you
goodness.
Don't do a show for a
another,
while.
Another episode, another
people are
going
to be complaining to me.
Segment.
Like, yep. you told me like, to like this Ray to Troy thing, and then they don't do any episodes. Like, I don't know, man. I'm trying to help.
Did that
you.
Actually happen, or did you just make that up?
That's just
Ryan. Oh my
I
goodness.
Like making stuff up. All right.
She's a troublemaker.
I just stirred up some trouble. You know? Just,
I know.
Just bring up a random name and like talk trash about them. It's people we like. It's just like, yeah, whatever. You
just
know?
Play the voicemail.
All right. Here's the first voicemail.
Oh, this question's for Ryan and Keeley. And this is just regarding the Jay Toya transfer. You know, I'm sure that there's, you know, a lot to the story that we may never know. But it's just I keep on thinking back to that comment that everybody kind of yet another head-scratching comment from our head coach about Jay Toya having an elephant head. And I'm guessing that's probably not the only reason, but like that can't have helped the situation. And it just seems like, I mean, this is just getting ridiculous. I mean, like he says they're one of his 105 adopted children or whatever, but do you think he'd ever tell his own son that they had an elephant head? I mean, that's just ridiculous. Fight on, Jason Longhorn Country.
Jason.
Jason sounds so just exacerbated.
I know, which you feel like you feel the Trojan fans' pain, and you're going to like find some. Now, that's a weird freaking comment, Keeley. He's got a point. Like, I don't think that's a reason you're going to sit down with your family and go, you know what, I want to transfer out. But it's a weird comment.
I mean, everyone knows my stance on Clay Heltonisms. They are what they are. He's going to say what he says. I mean, Toya was committed early. He knows what he's getting in his head coach. I mean, that was something that I think he was prepared for. So it's just a Heltonism. I don't think he would have said it to the media if it was some insulting thing that Toya would have hated. So I'm not putting too much stock into it. But is it a little funny and weird? Yes. But that's like the nature of Heltonism. So it's just, it is what it is, people.
And he, you know, he did commit, like Healy said, he committed in 2018. And there was, it's funny, the threads would pop up. It's like, oh, he hates Clay Elton. And he's like, he committed to the guy like 3 years ago. Like, if he hated him, then I don't think he would have been committed for that long. But yes, that is, that's a weird one. But we've, it's like Keely said, it's a Heltonism. And, you know, you can't, I think the team is pretty used to them. And I think maybe the fans are used to them, but not all of the fans.
Yeah. And I mean, also his cousin is Stanley Ta'afu. So there's even a longer history of knowing the program, knowing USC and Clay Helton and whatnot. So I don't think that was a surprise, or he's suddenly like, oh my gosh, this head coach says things that make people scratch their head. It's like, you know, it kind of comes with the territory.
But Jason, definitely, I know he's a subscriber. Go read the War Room too, and give us your thoughts.
Shouts to you. We got a question and a comment from our buddy Dan, class of 1962, who says, hi, Ryan and Keeley. Gerard is always a great guest on the podcast if Keeley is on a break. His comments on USC in the Pac-12 were excellent, as were yours, Ryan. I'm going to start using Gerard's Larry Tennis moniker for Larry Scott until he leaves finally in July. I'm confused about the transfer portal regarding players needing to sit out 1 year if they transfer schools. I have heard comments that the transfers do not need to sit out a year, or that they don't for this year only because of COVID-19. What are the current rules regarding portal transfers, and what is the timeline for regular recruiting this year? Fight on and win, Dan, class of 1962.
Yeah, so that has gone away. So there's no, and the Pac-12 passed a rule recently that said, you know, you don't have to sit out a year. You can transfer within the conference and all of that. The issue is more with signing a letter of intent. And I think Gerard talked about this, you know, somewhat trumping the transfer rule. I don't understand it entirely, but there's like something about the initial signature on a national letter of intent versus like people that'll sign a financial agreement or whatever. So there's some, a little bit of confusion there, Dan, but overall, yeah, you can transfer out, you know, you get one free time, and, you know, Washington had tried to block a transfer to UCLA, and then that ended up getting cleared out to, you know, the conferences have, you know, passed these regulations too, to match the NCAA. So that's sort of why you're seeing this, you know, free agency rush right now, because you can basically transfer. You don't have to graduate, and then you can transfer. You know, that was like a little loophole that people were using. And, you know, if you had already graduated from school, like, yeah, go wherever you want. But now, you know, you're a sophomore, you don't like where you are on the depth chart, you can transfer out and into the portal. But it's becoming the wild, wild west, and we're not, I think you're seeing more people that are entering the portal but already know where they want to go. There's been some stories out there about tampering and things like that, but there's like 1,500 kids in the portal. So there's guys that left their schools and don't have a place to go. So the more coveted prospects, they're sort of like feeling out what their options are. And then by the time they enter the portal, they probably have a pretty good idea of where they're going.
Yeah.
It's a weird dynamic. Do you understand some of the NLI stuff like that?
It's complicated. I mean, I did until the pandemic happened, and then I feel like it's kind of a mess right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if we, did you talk about it on the podcast, but Stephen Carr enrolled at Indiana.
Oh, we haven't mentioned that one yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he enrolled. And that was, I said previously, that was where sources were strongly suggesting he was going to go. So he reunites with Dylan McCullough.
Yeah. So Dylan McCullough's back. And that has happened since. I think.
Yeah.
I don't think he was committed last week when we talked about, but he's actually enrolled there and stuff.
But that speaks to your point where sometimes guys just know when they're entering the transfer portal what they're going to do, because sometimes it's just a wild, wild west of you can't not know or else you're kind of stuck.
Right. So Stephen Carr might have, you know, he might have wanted to leave. He might have just wanted to leave in general, but he did have a really good connection with Dylan McCullough. that becomes available. Now, with someone talking to him, like, who? I mean, yeah, I'm sure people talk and, you know, whatever. There's like, but yeah, it's, you just don't want like the Indiana coaches calling the players and saying, hey, you can come here. And
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
No.
I'm sure that stuff's happening like all over the place. But yeah, so he knew where he was going to go before he entered the portal. Like, you know, we've seen guys like, remember, if, like Akili Ross was like a 4-star safety that had gone in there. I think he ended up at like UTEP or something.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of went in without an intention. And I think now you're seeing like there's much more intention when you're going in, especially for the higher ranked players too.
And I think that's the learning curve that came with the portal, because like Akili Ross was really early in that process of when the portal first happened, and it was kind of more of a fun free for all. And now it's kind of a wasteland. It can be if you don't, if you're not like, it's kind of like a quicksand. If you don't know what you're holding on to, you're kind of like, oops, I'm in the portal.
Yeah. So. Like you're jumping off this cliff and you grab a backpack and it could have a lunch in it or it could have a parachute. Like you're not sure.
Yeah.
But now you're going, you're like, I'm not jumping off until I know not only what the parachute is, what color it is, and where it's going to take me, you know. Like,
or at least have a sense of that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And there, you know, obviously there's been some highly successful transfer, like, you know, half the Heisman Trophy candidates every year are like transfer portal guys, but those guys would have a spot. It's just, I think it's shifted now to, you don't just enter the portal willy-nilly.
Yeah.
You do it with a purpose, and you know, you got to do some research before you go in there.
Yeah, for sure. We have one more email, and it's from Frank in Sacramento, who kind of, I guess it's not really a question. This is his guess or explanation as to what happened with Jay Toia. He says, so you have a Pac-12 top recruiter of the year and a fellow Polynesian in Vic Sooto who landed you, also serving as your coach on the D-line. Everything looks perfect. Later, when things don't work out, the only explanation is that Jay Toia has been told by USC that he's not the player they thought they were getting when they offered him. Frank in Sacramento.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with that, Frank.
Yeah, I would not.
Everything we heard from Vic Sooto and, you know, even Clay Helton, they like Jay Toia. Like I would say the USC coaches, pretty safe, Keeley. USC coaches are not happy that he's in the transfer portal.
Yes.
This isn't we wanted to run off Jay Toia.
No.
And this is Jay Toia leaving the program. So it's not what's being described here. He was not told that he's not the player that you're expecting.
I mean, you could flip that into the positive. I think he looks better than what we expected.
Yeah.
I think he matured well. I think they scouted him well. And I mean, with the Brandon Peely injury, I think they were very happy that they had a guy like Jay Toia, because he fills that just body mold that they need in that nose tackle position. So, yeah, it's not one of those, hey, you've had one spring camp as an early enrollee and now we're kicking you off the team or we're shooing you away. That's not the case here. Not at all.
It's a position of need. He performed very well. He got great grades. Like, there was no, you know, he was, from all accounts we've heard, a pleasure to be around.
Yes.
You know, there's guys that are great players that could be, you know, liabilities in the locker room for whatever reason, that just maybe they're causing little problems or whatever, but they're a great player and you're going to keep them around, but you might have to, like, heard nothing of that with Jay Toia. So, yeah, Frank, it's a weird one, but there's going to be a lot of weird stories. And I think for every time you see something like this, it's not always like the fans are looking at it from their point of view. Like, well, why can't everyone, like, I hate Clay Helton. I'm sure everyone hates Clay. Well, no, that's not the case. And like, well, this is why I would leave. It's like, no, like there's different situations. There's family dynamics. There's, there's a lot going on. Behind the scenes, just picture yourself when you were at college and all the kind of potential issues that would come up. And if you moved far away or went close by or whatever it was, there's a lot going on more than just how he fits on the team. And as a fan, you're looking at it as like, he could help the team that I like a lot. Like, so that should be enough. And there's obviously a lot more going on than that.
It's always much more complicated behind the scenes, and just family and college football, when you mix those two together, it can get a little messy sometimes. So
yeah, but so there you go. Wish Jay Toia the best. I got multiple calls about, you know, USC fans or, you know, media people that were just like, wow, like shocked. And it's USC had some great additions in the transfer portal. You're going to see guys that are probably going to be big contributors, like Keontae Ingram or Ismail Schoffer. I mean, you're going to see guys like that. But you're going to see guys that could be contributors leave too. And this is just more of the more of a head scratching one, but you know.
We'll see. I mean, I think there's still more to come in whatever sense of that, but there's still more to come.
There's always more to come. There's also, we're starting to see some social media posts about the rest of the incoming freshmen arriving on campus too.
Yeah. So, moved in over the course of the weekend.
Yeah. So I just put up from a couple months ago, but Mason Murphy from Jay Sarah's offensive tackle signed with USC, and I got to see him play a game against St. John Bosco. So I put, you know, since they're moving in, I'm like, I should put that video up. I should have put it up earlier, but it's up now. You can go check it out. We'll have more videos and stuff coming up to some of the players we saw, high school players in the spring, especially as they start taking visits to USC. But it will be fun to watch. You know, it was always great when we could go out and do the summer workouts ourselves. But.
Yeah, PRPs. I mean, they're working out now. USC released some photos of their back with Bobby Steiner, the boys.
Yeah, so. They're checking it out.
Yeah.
And they'll start those player-run practices at some point, I'm sure, if they haven't already. No, we haven't really – probably won't be able to go.
With COVID, it's always a hurdle. Yeah. So we'll see.
But hopefully we got to, you know, see a bunch of practices in the spring. Hopefully the fall we'll be able to as well. All right. Well, tight little show, Keely.
Quick and sweet. I was about to say I combined both of those by accident. So yes.
Sweet.
Squick.
It's a squick show.
Squick.
But we're looking forward to, you know, the Family Feud coming up.
The Feud.
You got Trevino in the house?
Trevino in the house. A full crew.
Nice. Chris feels comfortable, I think, when he's with you guys. Like when he's with me, he's not as comfortable.
I'm the Chris handler. I was the Dan Whisperer, the Chris handler, the shotgun container. You know, all of those.
You don't
Wrangler.
You it's a little harder to handle him or, you know, be the Chris handler when he's on video with you, like with Instant Analysis. Like there's still a little work there. But I feel like with the podcast he's in. He's like
He needs a little bit of warm up before we start podcasting. Okay. He always comes in very quiet and so you gotta work him up, warm him up. But yeah.
It's funny because he is an introverted guy, he's a quiet guy. But there's some really funny moments. I love the you know, the fake sponsor stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's hilarious.
He's very smart about this stuff, which you'd think, oh, that'd give you all the confidence in the world. But he's still, you know, he's still a reserve.
Just an introvert, you know.
That's all right. It's funny that introverts, like, were rising up during the pandemic. You know, us extroverts were, like, beaten down.
We were dying. It was horrible. Yeah. Yeah. But
awesome. All right. Well, that will wrap things up. For Keely Yore, I am Ryan Abraham. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the Peristyle Podcast. Hope you enjoy the show, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.